Hello, I'm Will Shires, and this is Talking Trucks. In this special episode, we're marking 50 years of International Truck of the Year. That's five decades of innovation, engineering leaps, industry politics, and the occasional bit of chaos, all wrapped up in the commercial vehicle world's most respected award. Now, I've been a jury member long enough to know it's far more than just a trophy and a press release. It's a snapshot of where the industry is each year, what matters to operators, what engineers have achieved, and what challenges lie ahead. And looking back across half a century tells you how those priorities have shifted as the haulage world has evolved. Now, to tell that story properly, I'm going to talk to the people who shaped it. Former chairman Andy Salter and Gianenrico Graffini, current chairman Florian Engel, and DAF Trucks president and CEO Harold Zeidel. But first, we're going right back to the beginning. Back to the man who helped come up with the idea long before a formal jury existed, when the award was little more than a late-night notion in a smoky office above the old car magazine headquarters. And that man is Andrew Frankel, founder of Truck Magazine, and along with his colleague, the late Pat Kennett, one of the creators of International Truck of the Year. I spoke to Andrew whilst he was in California, and unfortunately I was stuck in Commercial Motors' Sutton office. What follows is Andrew in full flow, explaining how it all began. Over to you, Andrew.
Hello, my name is Andrew Frankel, founder of Truck Magazine many, many years ago. Allow me to give you a little bit of history. My partner and I were owners of Car Magazine, and I went to have lunch with a gentleman called Mike Helas, who at that point was boss of Mercedes Cars and Trucks. Halfway through lunch, he said to me, "Why don't you do a magazine on lorries?" He said, "Bit like Car, you know, outspoken, good photography and all that." So I said, "Should we call it Truck?" And he said, "Yes." Okay, so I went back to the office. I said to my partner, "Let's launch a magazine called Truck." "Oh," he said, "what a good idea." So we then produced what is known in the publishing world as a dummy, a rough idea of what the magazine would look like. And I took it up to Glasgow for the motor show. Bumped into a very nice guy called Richard Seth Smith, showed it to him, and I said, "All I need now is an editor." "Oh," he said, "I've got just the man in mind. Try and find Pat Kennett." So I wandered around and I said, "Excuse me, are you Pat Kennett?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, how would you like to be the editor of a new magazine called Truck?" He was working for Motor Transport at the time. To cut a long story short, we printed the first issue. It was a huge success. And as we were progressing, we thought, he and I were sitting in the office one evening, and I said, "We need something a bit special." And he said, "Well, how about something like Truck of the Year?" "Oh, all right. So how about the first one?" So Pat said, "Well, how about the Sednatki 200? Fine. It was late in the day, but we thought, well, we'll give them a ring and see how they react. So we phoned up. And the guy on the switchboard, or whatever, I don't think they had a switchboard in those days, we said, "We're looking for Jim Redman, the boss." He said, "Let me put you through." So Pat obviously knew him and said, "Hello, Jim, you're going to become the very first truck of the year." "Oh," he said, "thank you very much." So we went up and took some pictures and put it on the cover, and had a little party. And then, by then, we'd found three or four journalists, not so much automotive, but truck journalists in Europe. And it grew from three or four to what it is today, which I guess is probably over 20. We also got a little trophy. To this day, it looks very similar. Made in Germany. And over the years, we've had one or two interesting experiences, to say the least. Well, one of them was that one year, in 1984, when Volvo won with the F-16 intercooler, we were having a party in Geneva. Very nice dinner, and I'm sitting next to the German judge. I was the president of the Truck of the Year organization, so in charge of all sorts of things to make sure that the thing was going to be okay. So I said to the German judge, Helmut, I said, is everything okay? This was in January 84. I said, trophies here? He said, nine? There is no trophy here? We had Christmas. So I thought, I'm sorry. He said, we had Christmas in Germany. I said, oh, how exciting. I thought it was an international happening. But anyway, the following morning, the MD of Volvo was sitting on my other side. Luckily, he didn't hear the conversation. All I know is that the following morning at 11 o'clock, we had a room reserved. We had the Swedish press, international press, members of the union from Sweden flew down for the special occasion. And somehow I had to tell the boss called Sven Eriksson that there is no trophy. So he looked a bit puzzled, but I said, don't worry, I think I've got it solved. So after I was told by Helmut that there is no trophy, I spotted a champagne bucket in the other room. Now, I am not making it up because there is no reason why I should. So at the end of the dinner, I said, walked across to the other dining room, and I said, Monsieur, s'il vous plaît, can I please borrow your champagne bucket, two handles, silver, it looked very nice, and you'll have it back tomorrow for lunch. Well, he didn't seem very keen, but he realized that there were quite a few of us and, you know, filling the hotel and spending lots of money, so he said, okay. Then I had to get up early in the morning and rush off somewhere to find a little sticker that I could put on the trophy, on the bucket, which actually said 1984 Truck of the Year Volvo Intercooler. By 11 o'clock in the morning, I had the sticker. I got some glue. I'd stuck it on where it said Hotel de Paris, which would have been a little bit embarrassing. And then I went to see the MD and I said, look, this is not the real trophy. This is a fake, but nobody will know. It looks like a trophy. All you have to do, I will take it along, wrapped up in blankets. I'll hand it over to you, and once Pat made his speech, we'll hand it over to you, and you hold it up just as high as you can, so people can take pictures and give it back to me immediately. He took a deep breath, and he didn't really have an option because he had like 100, 200 people there. And he said, okay. And I said, by the way, you'll have the proper trophy next month at the next truck show. So luckily, we got away with that one. There were other interesting happenings. One was when we decided to do some scoop pictures of the new Ford Cargo, which was being built at Langley, not too far from Heathrow Airport. So the photographer and I went up to the fifth floor, started taking pictures of the trucks coming off the production line, and the lady came out and she said, oh, hello, love, you must be the new dustman. And I said, yes. Well, here you are, she said. Thank you very much. So we took the rubbish, took the pictures, took the rubbish down, took the pictures back to the office, and we had a front cover. And then I had the very pleasant duty of going to Ford Motor Company's head office to inform Bob Lutz that they, in fact, had won Truck of the Year with the Ford Cargo.
Wonderful stuff there from Andrew Frankel. And if that doesn't sum up the early chaos, charm, and sheer improvisation behind the first Truck of the Year, nothing will. From champagne buckets standing in for trophies to choosing winners over the phone, it's a world away from the 24-plus strong jury of today and the formal rules and the extensive test drives. Now, let's jump forward through those 50 years. My next guest is someone who knows International Truck of the Year inside out. Andy Salter is a former jury member and chairman. Few people have a better understanding of how the award works behind the scenes. Andy, thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Will. Delighted to be here.
Excellent. So let's start at the beginning. Your career then. See, you started on Truck Magazine as a road tester, yeah?
I did, yeah. My interview was in 1992, and we went round the a section of the Truck Magazine road test route. I was absolutely, you know, an honour, I think is what you'd call it, to be the road tester for Truck Magazine back then. So we went round this short road test route, and you went down up the A38 by Burton, cross country then to Ashbourne, which was all part of the route we went over. It used to go over the Peak District and come in the back end of Manchester, Stockport, Manchester. And so this was the route of Truck Magazine. Like, Truck Magazine's road test route. Oh my God, you were doing this on your and you're doing this on your interview. So they took us. So I had a bit of a chat. At the time, the editor was a guy called George Bennett, and his oppo was a chap called Paul Barden. Again, two of the legends of commercial vehicle journalism.
Absolutely.
So they put me through my paces across the table, and they said, "Right, you go out and drive a truck." And I think the vehicle that we were taking out was a DAF 90. Might have been a DAF. It was either a DAF 95 series, or it was a Renault Major. My dad had a Renault, well, they weren't called Majors because this was a second-hand one. It was like a B310 or something. But it was the same big cab. And so we went off. I'm sure it was the Renault for the first test drive. And who was in the passenger seat but Pat Kennett?
Oh, really?
Again, I think Frankel's just has mentioned him.
Yeah.
And again, you know, the
so no pressure.
he wrote the rule book when it came to testing trucks. Now, I'd been a truck driver, so I'd had 4 or 5 years tramping around the UK, driving tippers, doing beer delivery, all manner of different trucking jobs. And I thought, you know, I know I had to drive a lorry. So anyway, off we went, and we dropped, it's a very steep hill down into Ashbourne when you're going northbound. And then we had to go around the Ashbourne one-way series and then go back up again, going back towards Derby. And there's a nasty little left-hand turn with a set of traffic lights on the bottom. So as we come to it, of course, the bloody lights turned red. Set off and cranking it up through the gears. With that Renault gearbox, you had to be a little bit careful you didn't come across the gate and go into the higher gears too much. Of course, what did I do? Went from like sort of second and then ended up in fifth and stalled it on the hill. And it's like, oh, shit, that's the end of that then. Anyway, got going again, and Kenny was like sort of very complimentary. So it was like, you know, good recovery. And I thought, no, I've knackered that, and there's no way I'm going to get the job. Anyway, got the job, and then the first time I went out on road test on truck, Kenny was the driver. And as I say, I thought I could drive a bit, but he knew how to really push a truck right to its limits. To the point where I think he got into a bit of bother on occasion, but he really knew how to drive a truck, and sadly missed, and often think about how he got me going in this in this industry.
He, a bit of a character, was he?
He was. He wasn't everybody's cup of tea because he was a bit forthright in his opinions, and he could be an awkward old cuss. But he was always, he was great. I got taken under his wing a bit, you might say. And so we always got on really well.
Brilliant. So how long was it you were on truck until you became a jury member of Truck of the Year?
I had a very brief, I went over to work in Ireland for a chap who runs what's now Jarlett's magazine. Then it was, now it's called Fleet, isn't it? No, back then it was called Fleet Management. So I went to work for a guy there, a chap called Phil O'Kelly, who ran that magazine. And he was the jury member for Ireland, but he didn't go to all the meetings. So he was always pushing me to go to those meetings, where George Bennett had been after Kennett in the UK, George Bennett was the UK jury member. And so so I never got much of exposure onto the Truck of the Year when I was at Truck Magazine. But when I went to Ireland, as I say, Phil was always saying, well, you go to that. We were both Truck of the Year and Van of the Year. So we got a lot of exposure, got to know everybody. And then when I came back to Truck, well, I didn't come back to Truck. Yes, I did. Came back to Truck Magazine in the late 90s. George then wanted to step away, and I got the opportunity then to be on the International Truck of the Year and the Van of the Year jury at the time, which for a kid, you know, I was just like very early 30s, still finding my way a bit. You know, I taught myself how to write, and some people would say never properly learned. But it was like, that was a big step. You know, you were then within the great grandees of the, well, you know, now you're one of them, but one of the great grandees of the international journalism. And that was, you know, that was wonderful.
Yeah, okay. And then you became chairman.
So there'd been three chairmen before me. Kennett was the first. Then Teet Tammer was a Swedish guy, took over. He was a real proper gentleman. And he was a real diplomat. He held the jury together. Still at those times, it was still developing, finding its feet during the 80s and into the early 90s. And then an Italian guy took over, Lorenzo Raffo, who then was the editor of a magazine called Tutto Trasporti, bit like an Italian version of Truck Magazine or Commercial Motor. And then midway through, I think he was then sent off to do a different job for Editoriale Dumas, who were the publishers. And suddenly, I remember the day it came available that Raffo had finished, and there was me and Alex Gluss, the Polish jury member. We were up for election. And we both had to step out of the room, and they voted and then called us back in and said they'd given me the job. And again, you know, I was only in my mid-30s.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, now you've arrived, Salter. And see what sort of mess you can make of this.
So did you introduce any changes during your reign?
We had the opportunity to get the awards sponsored, and that was, you know, it was quite controversial. Texaco Lubricants at the time, we've got a great relationship with on our home magazines and across the home business, they wanted to present themselves as a, you know, obviously as an international player, still are, didn't really need the jury, but we felt that was the right thing to do. But in order to do that, then we needed to get some a more formal, well, we'd already got the formal articles of association, but we needed to get the International Truck of the Year on a more formal basis. So it needed to be registered as a company or a charity or something. So we tried to do that, and it was just, we got half a vote once that we were going to be able to do it, and then I went back and asked for another mandate from the jury, and we didn't, we couldn't get that. There was a lot of people that didn't want it to be too heavily commercialised, and so we just abandoned that plan.
Okay, because it's not easy, is it, working with 25 people from different countries? I know English is the language, but it's still not always simple. I think it's a bit like herding cats.
You're right. It was frustrating, but I also thought what a wonderful experience it was to be working with all these different nations, you know, most people do live up to often the cultural stereotypes that you would expect from different from the different countries. But as an exposure, as a, you know, young lad that, you know, hadn't done much travelling, to suddenly get into that environment where you could, you know, really learn from each other and see how it worked. Massively frustrating, but I always thought it was quite enriching as an experience. That and there'd be arguments, and people would be squabbling. They broke into factions, and then you'd have to go and spend time with the Nordics to see how they're going to vote, or the Southern Europeans. How they were going to vote, and I'm sure that still goes on.
So, is that the best part of being on the jury? Was it the travel? What did you get out of it the most?
I think for me the best part of it was the access that it gives you to the senior business leaders in the commercial vehicle sector.
Ah, definitely.
You know, you're talking to the senior designer at Mercedes-Benz trucks or Daimler, and you're talking to the senior engineer at DAF, and then the CEOs that are employing tens and hundreds of thousands of people throughout the world, and they're sat at dinner with you, having a glass of wine, talking about the industry, and you're as a journalist, you're there trying to find the stories, finding the angle, but they're on the whole happy to share their life experiences and how they go about making those decisions. That's incredible access.
Of course.
That you can't not enjoy that as a journalist.
And I think I'm right in saying that Mark Piggott, PACCAR chairman, you were one of the few journalists he'd actually talked to.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was because I was a soft touch and didn't ask any difficult questions or not. But, he always had a soft spot for Truck Magazine. And so as a result, you sort of got a free pass as a result of that, but I remember there was a guy at Hartmut Marwitz who was the lead engineer at Daimler or Mercedes when they were developing the Actros, and I just developed a great relationship with him. You could talk to him about engineering and understand the way that their thought processes were working, and already they had an eye on where they were going in terms of new power and new solutions, innovations that I think in every manufacturer you try and find that person who'd give you a little bit of an angle.
Definitely.
And give you some time.
So in this job, obviously we get to drive some incredibly good vehicles, but they're not always brilliant, are they? What's the worst truck you've ever tested?
As a true patriot, I was always trying to get a British-built truck onto the shortlist.
We've only had three British winners, I think. I mean, the Seddon with the first year, there was a Ford Cargo, and the Leyland Road Train.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is... So I managed to get the ERF EC onto the shortlist. Didn't win. I managed to get that onto the shortlist. And there's a reason, when you put those trucks, that fiberglass cab of the ERF and all of that, and I loved ERF trucks. I'd driven them as a truck driver, lorry driver. My dad had had one. Out of pride and sentiment for Sandbach, I wanted that ERF on the shortlist, but it didn't stack up very well. There was, I think, the Turkish-made BMC, which again came to the UK with an ERF badge on it.
EP6, is it?
Yeah. I think we got that onto the shortlist as well.
There was a Turkey, wasn't it?
Yeah. So there was a few like that, but when new trucks are launched, they're usually up and ready for market, and you're dealing with the best of the lorries that there are out there.
Yeah. So what's the best during your run on the jury?
Yeah, I love the Volvo FH.
Yeah.
But first generation, and then in the iteration, even to what they put out today, that's so far ahead of what that first FH series was. But I think the Series 2 won it, would have been like early noughties. And that for me, the way it... I always liked a vehicle that handled the road well, and that FH always felt like it was glued to the road. It was like a whispering machine. Yeah. The lack of wind noise around the A pillars and the mirrors, and I'm probably, if I sat in one today compared to modern trucks, you think it was a proper old you know, bone rattler, but it was just so well put together for its time. I thought that was by far and away the best truck. There was others. There had been other vehicles. The DAF 95 always had a great reputation with drivers, best truck to sleep in. But it's something about driving that Volvo that I just loved. Yeah, we did. I remember at the launch, the launch ride and drive was going from Nice probably to Turin or somewhere. So he went up over the Alps and back. It's like, it's just, you know, it really did feel like king of the road.
Yeah. But sometimes there are unpopular choices with the public. I'm very conscious we've had 3 electric trucks in the last 3 years, yet currently I think 4% of new trucks in Europe are electric. So it's a really fine line, you know. These are the trucks that have been launched, so these are what we're judging. But, you know, the commercial motor readers are picking it up and saying, oh, no, not another electric truck.
Yeah. The criteria for the award is very clear. It's got to be that vehicle launched in the previous 12 months that's had the greatest contribution to road transport efficiency.
Exactly that.
And so if that's where you can only judge what's put out in front of you, and that's where the future of commercial vehicle development is going. And so you have to reflect that in the jury, I think. I don't see how else. You can't vote for an old lorry, even though there's plenty of, you know, trucks around that are still very capable.
No, that's right. It's just, as I say, it's a fine line. And I'm often scared that the readers think we kind of haven't read the room, you know, we're slightly out of touch. But that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And, of course, it happens exactly the same with Van of the Year and Car of the Year. It's
you can only vote for what's in front of you.
So, to finish off then, what do you think has kept the award relevant for 50 years? Why does it still matter today?
Well, precisely that point, that you're... The jury, so it's not only about who wins, it's the forward-looking aspect of the journalism and the access, as I mentioned, that you get to the technology and the future trends, the future insights. And that's what keeps the industry alive. That, you know, everybody moans about the legislation, the new regulations, whether it's Euro 7 or the carbon reduction incentives and legislation, but it has driven development, new vehicle development, whether it's around road safety or efficiency, or now the shift towards zero emissions. And there's still loads more to come. We haven't seen yet the opportunity that autonomous vehicles bring and how that's going to impact on the industry and how that's going to impact on International Truck of the Year, because that's going to be the next... the next battleground is about who does autonomy best. And so I think providing the jury continues to look forward and look for those innovations and insights and sees where the future's going, that's what keeps it relevant.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to promote their latest vehicles. And I think that's what gives us, as Commercial Motor and as the brands, all the publishing brands throughout Europe, what gives us our relevance is by keeping our markets ahead of what's going on in the around the sectors.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Andy.
Thank you, Will. It's been an absolute honour. It's been a pleasure to be reminded of those days again behind the wheel and as part of the International Truck of the Year. Thank you.
Excellent.
The jury currently consists of 24 members from Europe's leading commercial vehicle magazines. In recent years, we've added 10 associate members from as far afield as Brazil, South Africa, the USA, New Zealand and China. Together, the 34 journalists reach a combined audience of more than 50 million people. And these changes came in while Gianenrico Graffini was chairman. And I'm delighted to say he's my next guest. Hello, Gianenrico. Thank you for joining me.
I will.
Now, tell me, you stepped down from chairman in 2025. How many years was that for you in the hot seat?
16 years in all. I started in 2008, and during this period we have seen almost everything, from the big the great economic crisis in the last quarter 2008 to, let me say, the COVID pandemic. We just miss grasshoppers and stone from the sky during this period.
it definitely has been challenging. So why stay in the role for so long? Is it simply that you enjoyed it so much, or you couldn't find anyone quite as patient, diplomatic and well organized as yourself to do it?
Well, let me say it's been an honor to lead in this group for so many years. And I think it was also a great opportunity for me to have a broader look at what the industry, the automotive industry, was doing worldwide.
Yeah. Now, you just touched on COVID. Now, that was a particularly challenging year. It was the year MAN's new TGX won, wasn't it? Were you scared that actually wasn't going to happen because you had to do the handover by video, if I recall?
Yes, you're right. I was very worried because, let me say, we need people watching this ceremony. We need a wider audience, the widest audience possible. And but I was supported by the PR agency in Berlin. It was the PR agency of MAN, and so we arranged a very good award ceremony in Italy and in Germany. Despite the COVID pandemic, despite the fact that it was impossible for me and for the entire jury to travel to Germany and to have, a standard traditional award ceremony.
Yeah, because of course, traditionally, we either do the handover at the IAA in Hanover or more recently at the Solitrans show in Lyon as well, don't we?
Yes. Usually we go to Hanover for the IAA transportation and to Lyon for Solutrans. And these two organizations supported us in the best way in the past, and they continue supporting us in the best way.
Yes, definitely. Now, tell me, you were chairman at the moment electric trucks really started to arrive. How significant do you feel this is?
Well, I personally realized that electric trucks were coming in different times, with different time scale. But let me say, if I look back at the presentation of 15 years ago of main OEM, nobody was trusting in electric trucks. Many of them say, well, they will transport just the weight of the batteries. Now the picture is completely different, and we realize as a group that was very important, was crucial to take into account also this truck in our candidate list.
Yeah, and of course we've just had three electric trucks winning in a row, haven't we?
Yes, that's another sign that time are changing. I've been in China, 3 weeks ago, and I've seen that China is speeding up like a hell towards zero emission trucks. They could be battery electric or fuel cell electric truck, but they are speeding up like a hell.
Yeah. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we added associate members during your tenure. Why was it the right moment to expand beyond Europe for the group?
Simple answer. The automotive industry is everywhere in the world with different shape, with different, strategies and whatever, but is everywhere in the world. And we have to take into account very important markets such as North America, such as China, such as India, such as South America. This is because if you look at the number, you see that, for example, China is the most important commercial vehicle market in the world, with around 900,000 heavy-duty trucks per year. So we have to take into account.
Yeah, incredible numbers. So how many separate International Truck of the Year ceremonies now take place around the world?
Well, we have our, traditional Truck of the Year award ceremony in Europe. Of course, we have one in South America, during Fenatrans in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And we have the Chinese Truck of the Year in China. This year we had the award ceremony in Wuhan. And we have the Australasian Truck of the Year, which takes place in New Zealand or Australia. It depends on the commercial vehicle show. But we have, a wide perspective.
Yeah. Great. Now, finally, Gianrico, why is International Truck of the Year held in such high regard after 50 years?
Well, you know, we try to work hard as a group in the same direction, always finding a common ground, always finding, let me say, the best solution to point out when the industry, when the automotive industry is able to build, is able to fill to the market. And this is very important. We try to do it in a very, very professional way.
Yeah, brilliant. And a lot of that is thanks to you.
Thank you. No, but it's thanks to everybody. You know, everybody, as I told you, we managed to work together in the same direction. I always say to myself, well, Gianrico, you have always to find a common ground, something that we can agree, we can all agree. This is finding a common ground. It could be a diplomatic approach. It could be, but anyway, it's the only way to work together in the same direction. We were successfully in this, and the industry did. The industry appreciate this approach.
Yep, agreed. Gianrico, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Will.
The official language of International Truck for the Year is English, which is just as well, because I'd be kicked off if it were anything else. I can order beer in several languages, but that's about the extent of my linguistic talent. What never ceases to amaze me is how incredibly skilled the rest of the jury are. Some speak multiple languages fluently, and how they keep up with the more in-depth technical press conferences is amazing. Their English is as good as mine, if not better. And as a case in point, I'm pleased to welcome my next guest, the current chairman and Austrian jury member, Florian Engel. Welcome, Florian.
Hey, Will. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate your initiatives you're doing around the Truck of the Year celebration.
Excellent. Before we start, how many languages do you actually speak, Florian? Are you two?
Of course, German and a little English, as you can hear, and some words of French. So,
okay, right. Now, back in November, you were handing over the trophy on stage at Solutrans. That was your first time. How was that? Were you nervous?
Oh, yes. I was really nervous. Speaking in front of 1,300 people for the very first time, it was really exciting. I was nearly wetting my pants.
Well, you did a good job anyway.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, we did, actually. It was, in the end, it was an amazing show, and the French organizers at Solutrans did a really good job to make this happen. And it was as well a very nice opportunity to make an official handover between Gianrico, the former German, and me. I took the opportunity in the name of the whole jury to present him the special trophy, the honorary president for life, for his amazing achievements during his very long period as a chairman. Yeah, so we did it together, and it was just an amazing evening.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Now, whilst we've got you, would you do us a favour? Could you just explain how the judging works? Not just the scoring system and the 12 points and the 7 points, etc., but also the test drives, the technical briefings with the engineers, and the way the jury actually reaches its final decision.
Yeah, the main point about the Truck of the Year itself is the trucks have to be new. So the most important thing for all the jury members is to get hands on them, to test drive them, to get a deep technical briefing by the expert of the manufacturer. So we really take our time and really work on the details, because all trucks actually are really brilliant in the meantime. So they're always... It's always a very close competition, I would say. So we really have to look into the details to define which truck really deserves to be the next truck of the year. Oh. So it's very intense discussions between the jury members. Test driving is one thing, but even more important is to be together on spot, to get into discussions and to get the opportunities to get hold of all the news and innovations.
Yeah. And then when judging happens, we get 12 points, don't we, to share between the different shortlisted trucks. And the maximum is 7 we can give to one vehicle, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true. So it could be really, really hard if you just put 7 and 0 to all the others. So if you have one very favorite, you can really push if you want. I think it depends on the candidates each year. Sometimes it's really clear and sometimes it's really close, as it was this year, actually.
Yeah, it was, definitely. Now, these scores are then counted by an independent adjudicator, yeah?
Yeah, we are working with DEKRA now as independent surveyor, and they are really doing an amazing job. It's very nice to work together with them. They're super professional, and at some point, even pushing some lazy jury members if needed.
Now, it's not just a single trophy anymore either. We've also got the Truck Innovation Award. Would you mind just explaining a little bit about that for us?
Yeah, the Truck Innovation Award, as it says, is looking a little bit into the future, what's coming next, because we are invited to so many abstract events, I would call it, or future-driven fairs like the ACT Expo we have been this year together. We get hands on real innovations. On a very early stage, that's one of the big advantages to be one of the Truck of the Year jury members. So it was obvious that we needed a second award to go beyond this pure truck thing, because as everybody knows, there are these mega trends, and one of them, for example, is digitalization, and especially in the trucks, as we've seen this year, autonomous driving. So it's not ready yet for serious production, and therefore we needed this Truck Innovation Award, and that's exactly what it is all about. And it's definitely not about wheels and an engine, whether electric or ICE. It's far more, and as we have seen with the Bosch Road Hazard Service, who won this year, there are so many things around this trucking business that deserve an award due to their innovation.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we've had 3 electric truck winners in a row, but what really surprised me this year was seeing a Chinese truck on the shortlist. How long do you think it's going to be until a Chinese truck actually takes the crown?
Ooh, I wish I'd have a glass ball now. As we have seen, especially with the Sany test drive, I would say they had their first generation there, and the actual generation who took part in the Truck of the Year election, and they made within these 2 years a huge step forward. So if we take this development into account, I would say within the next 2 years everything is possible. So let's see what's happening.
Yeah, I think you're right. That second generation, as you just said, it was like chalk and cheese, wasn't it? Night and day, completely different vehicle.
Yeah, unbelievable. They were so close already to the European trucks. Yeah, as I said, it's really an open race now.
Yeah. Now, at Commercial Motor Magazine, we're planning a year-long series. We're going to look at every single winner, 1 week at a time, starting with the Senn Atkinson 200 and running all the way through to the DAF XD and XF Electric. I'll be planning anything as a group, Florian.
Yeah, especially thanks to you, Will. We will also feature all these 50 winners on the iToy website as well. There's going to be a very nice video, also thanks to you. And we are planning something really special at the IAA in Hanover, where we also will hand over the 50th trophy ever. So it's going to be a really big IAA for the Truck of the Year jury this year. But that's in a very early planning phase, so I don't want to spoil too much at this point of time.
No, but it should be a good year anyway, a good celebration, 50 years.
Oh yes, it should be, and it will be.
Brilliant. Florian, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Will. Thanks so much for having me.
During 50 years, we've had 50 very happy truck manufacturers. Across the 5 decades, the award has gone to 10 marques. DAF, Ford, Iveco, Leyland, MAN, Mercedes-Benz, Renault Trucks, Scania, Senn Atkinson, and Volvo. Perhaps unsurprisingly, Leyland and Seddon Atkinson only managed one win each, but all the others have enjoyed multiple triumphs. At the top of the leaderboard is Mercedes with 10, followed by MAN and DAF on 8 gongs apiece. And remarkably, 3 of DAF's 8 wins have come in the past 5 years, the most recent being the XD and XF Electric. And here to tell us a bit about that is my final guest, Harold Zeidel, President and CEO of DAF Trucks. Welcome, Harold.
Thank you.
First of all, congratulations on the win. That trophy cabinet must be bulging. But tell me, how did it feel to hear DAF announced as the winner at Solutrans?
Well, I can tell you it was a really proud moment for myself and for the entire DAF team. But for myself, I thought that winning the International Truck of the Year is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And when I heard that the trophy was awarded to us again, but now with our electric truck, that felt like an immense recognition of the efforts that the entire team has made. So pride and a great sense of recognition.
Excellent. Well, it was well-deserved. Now tell me, were there a few sore heads the following morning?
Well, of course, we celebrated big time with the DAF team. We went with the trophy back to the DAF Pavilion on the Solutrans, and there was a big celebration there with some good wines, with some good champagnes. But you know what? Business goes on, and the next day we had a lot of customers coming to our stand. So we had to be fresh for them. So we celebrated, but we made sure in the following morning we were ready to receive customers.
Excellent. So, what has winning 3 times in 5 years meant inside the organization?
It's a great recognition, I would say, of the quality of what we call the new generation DAF. The new generation DAF that we introduced in 2021, winning it with our long-haul trucks the first time, then after that with our distribution truck, and now with our electric truck, really proves to me, to us, the concept that we set into the market with the focus on efficiency, safety and driver comfort, that is really recognized, not only by ourselves, but it's a great pride that we have that also the international journalists, renowned international journalists, also see that value that DAF is bringing in the market. So it's really something that is very special and that we cherish a lot.
Excellent. Now, do you think that pride runs all the way from the boardroom right down to the factory floor?
Well, absolutely, I would say. The way we celebrate International Truck of the Year is this is something of the entire DAF team. There was cake for all DAF employees the day immediately after we won the International Truck of the Year. The trophy will also tour inside of DAF to make sure that all the employees can touch it and also can feel a sense of pride and belonging. This is not the award for DAF. This is our award. This is the award for your team for the effort that you have been making.
That's fantastic. Brilliant. Now, tell me, electric trucks are still a very small percentage of the overall market in Europe. Do you think awards like this help to shift customer confidence?
I'm convinced it will shape customer confidence. And I'm convinced that these kind of awards, and in particular the International Truck of the Year Award, being rewarded to an electrical truck, really confirms to our dealers, but especially to our customer base, electric trucks are excellent. Electric trucks are the best to drive in the industry. And I can tell, I visited one of our customers 2 days after winning the award, and he echoed that. He said, the electric truck by our drivers is so good and so smooth, they don't want to return to the truck that they had before. Wow. So in that sense, it's a great underlining of the value of electric trucks. There's more that needs to be done to get it off the ground, but I'm sure it's a great push in the back and a great tailwind for the whole electric truck market.
Yes. So why do you think the International Truck of the Year Award is held in such high regard by truck manufacturers like yourself?
Well, I think that what's important is that the award is an independent award by 23 leading journalists all across Europe. The jury puts a lot of effort also in really taking seriously the testing, all the aspects around the truck. We have a long list of criteria. So I think that winning that award is something that truck manufacturers really look forward to, because it's kind of a recognition, an independent recognition of who really brings the best truck in the market. So it's the quality of the jury. It's also the thoroughness of the process that is important for us to take a look at and saying, hey, if you win this award, that's really something very, very special.
Brilliant. That's great to hear. And finally, one last question. What are you going to be doing to promote the win over the coming year?
Well, all our dealers, all our customers, we make sure that they know DAF won the award. But more importantly, towards our whole team. There's big posters when you enter the DAF premises that says we did it again, winning the award. And that's something that we continue celebrating in the course of the whole year. Also in our all-employee meetings in January, we go to Eindhoven, to Westerlo, to Leyland. We invite also members of the International Truck of the Year jury to come to that meeting and to say independently to the DAF employees, this is why DAF has won, this is why DAF is an excellent truck, and this is also all on you, all the things that you did. So there's multiple ways in which we're going to celebrate this, but also use it towards the market as a kind of a testimony to the quality that DAF is delivering.
That's excellent. And I myself am going to come up to Leyland and have that chat with you, aren't I?
Excellent. We look forward to that. That's great.
Brilliant. Harold, thank you so much for your time. Really good to talk to you.
Okay, thank you very much.
And there you have it. 50 years of International Truck of the Year, told by the people who built it, shaped it, chaired it, and in DAF's case, won it repeatedly. From champagne buckets in Geneva to fully instrumented EV test drives. It's been one hell of a journey so far. Thanks for listening to this special episode of Talking Trucks. I'm Will Shires, and I'll see you on the next one.